welcome to another episode of Podcast DX. We try to bring you the best interviews and information from patients, healthcare providers, and even the latest news on issues in health that matter to you.
I'm Lita.
I'm Jean Marie. Ron will not be joining us today.
Thanks for joining us, however.
Yeah.
We are going to dive into another important topic.
Okay.
Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, or EDS. This is a group of disorders that affect connective tissues, the support structures in the skin, bones, blood vessels, and other organs. EDS is more than just being flexible or having stretchy skin. It's a complex condition that can impact various aspects of a person's health and quality of life. We have discussed this topic in previous episodes with a variety of guests. They were all dealing with different symptoms related to EDS and how they're living with their new diagnoses. But today we're going to explore what EDS really is, its common symptoms, the challenges, and how it's managed.
Okay. Well, let's get started with some basics. Ehlers-Danlos syndrome is actually a group of 13, currently 13 distinct connective tissue disorders, there are 13 distinct connective tissue disorders that are currently classified. They're caused by genetic mutations, and I have to go drink some more coffee, that weaken the body's connective tissue. And this can lead to symptoms ranging from joint hypermobility and hypermobile and stretchy skin that's usually unusually elastic or fragile, to complications with organ rupture.
Oh, well, exactly.
So the whole gamut.
Right. It's from minor to major.
Right. Well, and it's probably major to whoever's dealing with it.
Right. Yeah. And we're not trying to speak light of the topic, since we both have this condition.
And we've spoken to some individuals who are dealing with it, and it can be quite serious.
Yep. The most common type is hypermobile EDS, or HEDS, which primarily affects the joints. Other types, like vascular EDS, are much rarer but can be life-threatening because they involve fragile blood vessels and organs. Diagnosis often requires a combination of clinical evaluation, family history, and sometimes genetic testing.
Okay. And it's worth mentioning that Ehlers-Danlos syndrome is often quite misunderstood or misdiagnosed. And symptoms can overlap with other conditions. And there's a general lack of awareness out there in the world, even among medical professionals. So let's talk about what it is like to live with Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, or EDS. People with EDS might experience chronic joint pain, frequent dislocations, and extreme fatigue. And these issues can make daily activities really challenging.
Yes, and beyond the physical symptoms, there's also the emotional toll.
Sure.
Coping with chronic pain and mobility issues, while often feeling dismissed by medical professionals, can lead to anxiety or depression. One thing that's often overlooked is the impact on the gastrointestinal system. Many people with EDS experience digestive issues like gastroparesis or irritable bowel syndrome. So it's not just about joints and skin.
Right, and we can't forget about the financial strain that it may place on individuals, from frequent medical appointments to assistive devices such as braces, wheelchairs, or even customized furniture.
Right. So now let's delve a little deeper into vascular EDS, or VEDS.
Okay.
This is one of the rarer and more serious types of EDS. It's caused by mutations in the COL3A1 gene, which affects the production of type 3 collagen, a critical component of blood vessels and internal organs.
People with vascular Ehlers-Danlos syndrome often have thin, translucent skin, which can make veins more visible, especially on the chest and abdomen. I wonder if that's true with all skin tones and melanin levels.
Oh, good question.
They're also at a high risk for spontaneous rupture of arteries, intestines, or even the uterus during pregnancy. And these complications can occur without warning and may require immediate medical attention.
Absolutely. It's essential for individuals with VEDS to have a team of specialists familiar with the condition. Regular imaging, such as MRIs or CT scans, can help monitor the health of blood vessels. Patients are often advised to avoid contact sports or heavy lifting to reduce the risk of injury.
And genetic counseling is incredibly important for families affected by VEDS, since it's an inherited condition or inheritable condition. And knowing whether or not a family other family members are at risk can guide preventative care and monitoring.
Well, while there's no cure for EDS, management strategies can make a big difference.
Okay.
Physical therapy can help strengthen muscles around the joints to provide better stability. Pain management, whether through medication or alternative therapies, is also key.
Okay. And for those with more severe types of vascular Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, as we said before, regular monitoring by specialists and avoiding certain physical activities are crucial to preventing serious complications.
Right. Advocacy is another part of the picture. Patients and caregivers often have to educate others, from healthcare providers to employers, about this condition. Organizations like the Ehlers-Danlos Society are doing a great job raising awareness and funding research.
And let's take a moment to highlight the exciting research happening in the field of Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. Scientists are actively studying the genetic causes of Ehlers-Danlos syndrome to develop more accurate diagnostic tools, and advances in genome sequencing are making it possible to identify mutations more quickly, which can lead to an earlier diagnosis and intervention.
Yes, indeed. And there's also research focused on potential treatments. While there's no cure yet, clinical trials are exploring therapies that could improve connective tissue function or reduce symptoms. For example, medications that target specific genetic pathways show promise in early studies.
Another area of research is in a better understanding of co-occurring or comorbidity conditions like autonomic dysfunction or mast cell activation syndrome, which are often seen in people who are also living with Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. And this is a more holistic approach, which could lead to more comprehensive care strategies. And for those looking for resources, the Ehlers-Danlos Society, we mentioned before, is a one resource that you can go to. And they offer educational materials, a directory of knowledgeable health care providers, and information on upcoming conferences and webinars that they hold.
Yes, their webinars are really wonderful. You can sign up for them online and watch them from your own computer.
Okay.
No charge.
Okay.
Don't forget about local support groups and online communities. Platforms like Facebook and Reddit have active EDS groups where people share tips, experiences, and encouragement. Connecting with others who understand can be incredibly empowering.
But we don't recommend using it as a diagnosis tool.
No, sure support.
Right, yeah. And for caregivers, there are lots of resources specifically tailored to them to help them navigate the challenges of supporting a loved one who is living with Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. Websites like Caregiver Action Network provides valuable advice and tools. And we can post a link for that maybe on our website and the resources for this webpage.
I'd better highlight that so I do that.
All righty.
Well, before we wrap this up, I think it's important to highlight. Oh, I just said highlight. Look, I'm just such I'm one of those round talkers.
Okay. Is it opposed to a square talk? Okay.
I think it's important to highlight the resilience of EDS, of the EDS community. There are so many inspiring stories of individuals who have found ways to adapt and thrive despite the challenges. Support groups, both online and in person, provide a space for people to share their experiences and tips. It's a reminder that no one has to go through this alone.
And on that note, if you or someone you know is currently living with Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, we encourage you to connect with these communities and seek out knowledgeable healthcare providers.
that wraps up today's episode. If you have any questions or comments connected to this episode, contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com. We're also on social media like Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram. And our website is podcastdx.com.
And if you have a moment to spare, please give us a review wherever you get your podcast. As always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding medical condition and before or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regime, and never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard in this podcast.
Till next week.